We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back again to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this always vast and still expanding network of great music podcasters. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, this is episode 226. I'm calling this the Bruce Springsteen family. I know I've mentioned this over and over again, time to time throughout many episodes and on many shows as well, but I've never actually done this episode. I actually debated calling this the Van Morrison family because good old, you know, cantankerous Van Morrison and them. I mean, he's kind of the start of this whole thing with the, I don't know what it is, the horns, the vocal phrasing, you know. Is it particularly Irish? I don't know if it is particularly Irish. It's particularly Van is what it is. But he's kind of the wellspring where all this comes from. But then I got to thinking a little more, you know, Springsteen is such an icon and he's contributed so much to this sort of thread that's going to run through some of our examples here. So that's one thing. But the other thing is... you know, I got to thinking, you know, Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young. There's a lot that kind of goes into this family. Now, our examples are going to lean towards, this is kind of interesting because I did a bunch of research on this and looked for, you know, people influenced by Van Morrison and Bruce Springsteen. And the ones I, you know, am compelled to talk about as part of this Bruce Springsteen family don't really come up. So I'm really giving you kind of a unique spin on this. And unique means maybe I'm wrong. But anyways, this is the way I see it and this is the way I've always seen it. And of course, we are tying it into our world a little more because I feel an anchor, you know, because of the bias of my world, our world here is such that it is classic rock, hard rock, heavy metal. I'm almost feeling the importance of Thin Lizzy in here as much as, well, you know, in terms of the anchors, it really is, you know, I got to include Bob Dylan in here. I suppose it is Bob Dylan, Van Morrison, Bruce Springsteen, but Thin Lizzy is a super important band in this whole thing as well. And for this episode, I promised I wasn't going to include a Bruce Springsteen track because I think I included a Springsteen track when we did the Thin Lizzy UFO doppelganger episode, and I'm sure I talked about this concept a little bit then. But yeah, we're leaving that out, and but I am playing some Thin Lizzy, and let's do that right now. This is Thin Lizzy with Having a Good Time.
If you're political, practical, then it's improbable that you do anything. But me and my buddies...
All right. There's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a Dark Horse track from a Dark Horse album. You can see our Contrarians episode on Chinatown, 1980. But I think this is one that captures this idea. So the idea is this sort of, you know, a lot of Frankies, a lot of Johnnies, a lot of Joeys, right? A lot of storytelling, a lot of the street sort of thing. And the working man and hard times and all that sort of thing. So this is part of this oeuvre of Van Morrison into Bruce Springsteen. And, you know, Bruce is a Thin Lizzy guy. You know, he's a fan. They're Thin Lizzy's actually before Bruce Springsteen in a way, right? You know, we think of the blinding, you know, career, the massive career Bruce Springsteen has had, but Lizzy was around a long time. But before we get too far, I wanted to kind of go through this this thing. So I saw some quotes and some comments on Reddit that I want to bring up in terms of this Van Morrison thing. Now, we know Van Morrison is very, like I say, cantankerous. And he was asked about Bruce Springsteen in Uncut Magazine, June 2023. He says, "The constant frustration of people constantly asking me what I think about every Tom, Dick, and Harry that sort of copied me. And what I think about that is that I've had enough of it. I mean, it's okay if it happens like once. After that, after two, three, four albums, when after four albums, people are still just ripping me off, it starts to get a little monkey on my back. And, you know, I'm carrying these Paul Brady monkeys and these Bruce Springsteen monkeys and these Bob Seger monkeys, and I'm just fed up with it. I just wish they'd find someone else to copy. In the old days, they'd have called it a form of flattery, but I don't find it flattering at all. I mean, I find someone else to copy or else send me the royalties, you know." And he's asked what he thinks about Springsteen. "Not my scene, you know. I'd rather listen to the source than imitation. That's where I'm at. Was he merely miffed at Springsteen's huge commercial success? No, not at all. I'm perfectly happy with what I've got. At the same time, I don't see why something I've invented, I've developed, and worked hard to come by should be ripped off year in and year out by these people." Pretty harsh, but we know Van is like that. He's definitely not a very, very generous soul, shall we say, right? But, you know, people were debating this whole thing on Reddit, and there was kind of a concession that that Bruce Springsteen kind of does this Van Morrison type thing, you know, with the horn arrangements. And, again, vocal phrasing is a big part of it, vocal melody. Poetic lyrics, you know, back to Phil Lynott, you know, that's how I always say it, back to Phil here, and we're going to say more about Thin Lizzy before we go out, because that was our example, but, you know, it's there on the first couple of Springsteen albums, then it goes away, and Bruce Springsteen does other things in a big way, and then he starts building kind of a family of his own that we're going to drop down on some of these guys. John Stewart said, Bruce is what happens when Bob Dylan and James Brown had a baby." Okay, so now he's into more of the stage presence, and even Van Morrison had a problem with Springsteen about that. But the stage presence thing doesn't really, you know, fall into these other bands in a big way. But that's kind of interesting. Woody Guthrie was mentioned as well. You know, and then, you know, we have to reference these things like Heartland Rock, the Jersey Shore sound. And, you know, back to Thin Lizzy, though. So Thin Lizzy, we've got Phil Lynott in there. He is Irish, so he's coming up with that them Van Morrison influence there. But he's amazing at it, and he builds his own world. But again, granted, you know, he's building this world before Bruce Springsteen is building this world, and granted, almost simultaneously with Van Morrison. But there are a lot of Johnnies and Frankie Carrolls and all that kind of thing, right, with them. But yeah, just to sort of narrow down a little more on the specifics of being part of this Bruce Springsteen family. So it is that storytelling thing. It is, you know, the guys getting out of jail, the working man, it's hard out there. The naming names, so that is something that was actually picked up somewhat from Van Morrison, using proper names. You know, with Phil, I think, and with Thin Lizzy, you know, also we get the acoustic guitar, we get the dependable Louie chords, we get occasional sax. But with Phil, I think the big thing here is that vocal phrasing and the cadence, the almost like proto rap idea of squeezing in a lot of words and letting the words go over the end of the bar, that sort of thing. Okay, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
All right, back again here. History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, episode 226, the Bruce Springsteen family, formerly known as the Van Morrison family. Take a listen to our second track, and we shall discuss. This is Bob Seger with Feel Like a Number.
I work my back to the swag with me. The boss can't even recall my name. I show up late and I'm down to never fail. I feel like just another smoking a great big wheel. Like a tiny blade of grass in a great big field. Whoa.
Okay, so this is from Stranger in Town, 1978. Wow. Bob Seger is huge, right? And I saw a pretty cool quote. Let's see if I can get this right because I'm doing this from memory. But somebody said, somebody once said, I think this is someone quoting someone, so it's a fairly big quote, that that Bruce Springsteen is what an American wishes to be and Bob Seger is what an American is. So it's kind of interesting. Bob Seger is never going to have that critical acclaim that Bruce Springsteen has. He definitely is part of this family. He is doing it at the same time. But granted, he's picking things up. He's picking things up and getting famous maybe 2 years after Bruce Springsteen is pretty famous. But boy, does Bob Seger do well. So Night Moves goes 6 times platinum. The album this is off of, Stranger in Town, 1978, also goes 6 times platinum. Against the Wind goes 5 times platinum. The next 3 after that, Like a Rock and all that stuff, The Distance, 3 platinums and a gold. So Bob Seger is really, really big. I mean, I've never been that big a Bob Seger fan, and I was trying to think of it, and I was reading all this Reddit stuff where people were pondering that themselves. And by the way, before we move on, we know one of Thin Lizzy's semi-moderate hits early on was a cover of a Bob Seger song, Rosalie, right? Big song about Rosalie Tremblay, influential Detroit radio disc jockey. Everybody from Windsor I've ever interviewed, talks about, the importance of that. And so this is a song, maybe sucking up to a little bit, Rosalie Tremblay, by Bob Seger. Bob Seger, famous Detroiter, of course, as well. But yeah, Thin Lizzy covers this. I don't think it's a great song for Thin Lizzy to cover. I think it's a little behind the times for them. It's a little conservatively written, Americanly written, which brings up another word, Americana, right? That's a big part of this whole Bob Seger thing as well. I mean, Bruce Springsteen thing as well, but Bob Seger definitely as well. So Bob Seger has many, many massive hit singles and obviously these big hits, albums as well. But the thing I've never liked about Bob Seger is things like Kathmandu, the more straight rock and rollsy sort of things. And I guess I'm always going to feel burned by buying those live albums, Live Bullet or whatever it's called. They looked like a heavy band, but they weren't a heavy band, right? And they had the silver logo and all that stuff. But they have some songs that are, old-time rock and roll, that whole sort of really dopey, simple, boogie-rocking sort of sound. I mean, I like the ballads much more, and his voice is incredible. I mean, a lot of people on Reddit were even discussing all this and saying, man, he's got the best voice out of all these guys that do this sort of thing, right? But okay, so let's move on. Let's just say that Bob Seger is a big part of this Bruce Springsteen family, but he's almost in stature as big as Bruce Springsteen, at least in the 70s and early 80s, right? Until Bruce, becomes kind of godhead after having, born in the USA. And then after that, I think his critical acclaim stays rather large and even his success is bigger. As well. But so again, Bob Seger is much more of the gritty traditional rock and roll version of a Bruce Springsteen. And again, this Jersey Shore kind of idea, with the horn arrangements and stuff and Clarence Clemons. I mean, that's kind of part of it as well. But again, the whole thing about, here's a little bit of a quote that kind of lays this out a little bit. The Jersey Shore sound, a combination of roots rock, doo-wop, Philly soul, and boardwalk carny music. That's kind of interesting. So you put all that together, and maybe that's the nexus, the center, the hub of the wheel of all this stuff, and then everybody's got that in certain amounts. You think of Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes as well. Okay, let's move on. Let's take a listen to our third track. This is UFO with Back Into My Life.
And you're wondering where she is. Now there's no more rendezvous. You left out here on this cold stock street with the sound of lovers as they tangle and meet. Their sweet surrender with a promise and a kiss.
Okay, so UFO, I think, is totally part of this family, and we're including it in here because no one else includes it in here. No one else talks about it. In all my research I've done, they even leave out Thin Lizzy. It's kind of weird. But UFO, I think, belongs into this thing as well because Phil Mogg was definitely a Springsteen fan. It was an influence he picked up along the way. But you hear sax occasionally in UFO. You definitely hear these story songs. You definitely hear these songs with Johnny's in them and stuff. And Phil definitely has that sort of, wise sage sort of way about him. And, you know, we've got, whether it's Paul Raymond or Neil Carter, we've got keyboards, we've got, old school retro, Hammondy sort of sounds, but we've also got piano. Piano's a big part of this whole thing as well. Tradition in all its guises is part of this, right? When you think of East Coast music in general, you think of tradition. You know, New York City, it's really funny how New York City really doesn't have, it's not impressive in terms of the bands that they contributed to pop culture in proportion to its size, right? But when you think of all of this whole area, you think of tradition. So I think you get that in there as well. So that was from Mechanics, 1982, a great UFO song. Let's move on to our fourth selection here. This is John Mellencamp with I Ain't Ever Satisfied. Okay, so now we are moving into, this is October 8th, 1991, Whenever We Wanted. This album went platinum. I love John Mellencamp. I think he's amazing. In fact, in the direct world of the closest planetary orb next to the son of Bruce Springsteen, I think it is John Mellencamp, and I get more value out of John Mellencamp than I do out of Springsteen. I certainly wasn't a fan when it was more of a Pop-Tart situation in the early 80s, and he's doing great, of course. But so yeah, this album goes platinum, and by the way, yeah, I saw him on this tour. It's one of the greatest shows I ever saw. But Aha in 83 goes 3 times platinum. This is when he's getting big. Scarecrow 85, Blood on the Scarecrow and all that. I mean, this is, he's the big Farm Aid guy, right? Again, Americana, Rust Belt, flyover states, right? Indiana, right, for John Mellencamp. Scarecrow, so that goes 5 times platinum. Lonesome Jubilee, 87, 3 times platinum. Big Daddy, 89, platinum. And yeah, this one, next three, all platinum. So John Mellencamp is a huge, huge star. So he's sort of like the, he's the guy that takes the baton from Bruce Springsteen, although he's in operation, kind of while Bruce Springsteen is big as well. And he's sort of seen as the baby band, Bruce Springsteen, right? But he quickly proves himself to be, a great writer and a great poet. And, has a great band and all that, Kenny Aronson and all that happening, right? So yeah, he's definitely part of this family. I like to talk about him here because I don't really get to talk about him a lot. And again, just summarizing again, Van Morrison, Bruce Springsteen, Thin Lizzy, UFO. So we've kind of taken care of the hard rock thing, and now we're into the Americana thing. But now we're going to go back to the UK. Take a listen to our last selection here. This is Graham Parker with Endless Night.
On the endless night, that turns on the endless night.
Wire must cross it. If there's a coin, must toss it. Okay. So I said John Mellencamp is my favorite planetary orb that is circling directly around Bruce Springsteen, but Graham Parker is my favorite guy, period. That is part of this family. I mean, as one guy, I might even like him more than Thin Lizzy, but as a solo artist, he's certainly my favorite out of Van Morrison, John Mellencamp, or Bruce Springsteen. Love him to death. Worship the guy. I think he's an amazing, amazing artist. So this is Endless Night from the Up Escalator, May 23rd, 1980. This is the one with that abstract, brown and red cover art. One of my favorite albums of all time. My favorite by him. And I don't know if you noticed, but in the background there, that is Bruce Springsteen providing guest vocals, background vocals on The Endless Night. So we know Bruce Springsteen appreciated Graham Parker as well. But yeah, I took out a couple of my albums here just to mention. So Up Escalator, we've got the likes of Endless Night. We've got Paralyzed, Maneuvers, Jolie Jolie, Love Without Greed. So that's all of side two. Side one, one of the greatest songs of all time, No Holding Back. Devil's Sidewalk, Stupefaction. I almost picked Stupefaction, but then I thought, hey, let's drive home the point and bring the Bruce Springsteen one up. Empty Lives and the Beating of Another Heart. Amazing, amazing album. So this is when he's still Graham Parker in The Rumor, but as we move on, yeah, the early ones. So here's the thing. Howlin' Wind and what's the other one called? Heat Treatment are the ones that are the most they have the most in common with this Jersey Shore sound of Bruce and Southside Johnny, and so those I actually don't like very much. Where it picks up for me is Squeezing Out Sparks, which again, one of the classic albums of all time. That one is the most critically acclaimed one. But then after the likes of this, we get another gray area. We've got The Real Macaw, and we've got Graham Parker and The Shot, Steady Nerves. They're all amazing. The Mona Lisa's Sister. Got to go see him live with Brinsley Schwartz, actually, which was pretty cool, at the Horseshoe here in Toronto. It was excellent. But yeah, so he absolutely, absolutely fits in this thing. He seems to be like one part new wave and two parts directly part of this Bruce Springsteen family. So there you go. That is our last of the five. I wanted to mention some honorable mentions. I almost went with Boomtown Rats, and I was going to play Joey's on the Streets again. So there you got, like, look at that title, right? But really, I looked at the Boomtown Rats album and then the subsequent albums, and even though they're Irish, and this is Bob Geldof, so he's a famous Irish guy, there's really not a lot of Van Morrison or Thin Lizzy or Bruce Springsteen in the Boomtown Rats. They are more of a new wave band later on. The first album's almost like a cross between hard rock and punk, and it's very well recorded, Mutt Lang, right? But after that, they quickly go kind of like a bouncy, goofy pop punk kind of thing. Although there's a couple of classic albums there. Steve Earle definitely feels part of this family. Tom Petty definitely feels part of this family. I was never a big Tom Petty fan. Steve Earle's a little to the countryside, but he's definitely a Bruce Springsteen disciple. Billy Joel feels part of this family as well. I've always said that, you know, the piano thing, the tradition, the kind of dull conservativeness of the whole thing, and he's a New York kind of guy. So he's more of your boring piano writer kind of version of Bruce Springsteen, right? So even more of the edges sawed off, right? I noticed a lot of people wanted to possibly include Jackson Browne and Warren Zevon in this. So, you know, can you include the whole Avocado Mafia Troubadour set in this? I'm not sure. And then the next step, it's kind of funny, but the next step past, past Bruce Springsteen into John Mellencamp, some people might go Bryan Adams, right? I certainly wouldn't. Vancouver guy, I'm not a fan, but he kind of gets thrown into that conversation as well. Another one that's a big, big part of this, but we have a rule here. We have a no Bon Jovi rule on History in Five Songs, so I couldn't play Bon Jovi. But Bon Jovi's totally part of this. They got an album called New Jersey, right? So they're from New Jersey, and they fit in this as well. And John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora, you know, as time goes on, they start sounding more and more like Bruce Springsteen and less like a hair metal band, right? And granted, I think their reputation is probably as super high as it is because they did get more ambitious and smarter and more thoughtful as time went on, just like a John Mellencamp, right? So that's kind of cool. And I wanted to mention another Irish band, U2, but I really don't feel like there's a lot of any of these guys in U2. Another one that I think totally belongs is Elvis Costello. I almost went and included an Elvis Costello track. But Elvis does so many different kinds of things. I've been playing a lot of Elvis Costello lately. He's just so enthusiastic and prolific that he participates in every kind of market imaginable. And you actually don't hear a particularly large amount of Van Morrison or Bruce Springsteen isms in Elvis Costello. You just get the great writing, right? You get the great lyricism. He's a very agile poet. And then, you know, given all the records he makes and the fact that, the volume level is roughly a Bruce Springsteen album or a Van Morrison album. So he's not a hard rock guy. So there's not really distorted guitar as such. You basically get a guitar, bass, and drums with clean or acoustic guitar with an Elvis Costello, and you get piano and all that kind of stuff as well, right? Going a little heavier, but still actually part of this, because I did notice, in the various Reddit debates, Joe Strummer's name came up, right? And that's pretty interesting, because so in The Clash, Joe would be the guy who feels a little bit more like a punk Bruce Springsteen, and then Joe does Earthquake Weather as a solo album, and then the Mescaleros is you could say there's a bit of that in him, worship the guy, one of the greatest artists of all time. Dexy's Midnight Runners, so here you've got a little bit more of that soul thing that we mentioned. Is it Philly soul? Is it Northern soul? Northern soul, it is sampling Philly soul. I mean, it's put it this way: the whole idea of Northern soul is Loving Soul from America, basically, right? But Dexy's Midnight Runners, you definitely get the horn arrangements in there. This is really more of a let's sidestep the Bruce Springsteen thing and go straight to the Van Morrison thing. Pub rock in general, right? All of these pub rock guys have a fair bit of that working man rock and roll traditional boogie rock, 50s rock, 60s rock thing. That is the whole melange pastiche that goes into Van Morrison's musical vocabulary and Bruce Springsteen's musical vocabulary. Dire Straits, I saw that name come up. Kind of interesting. The acoustic guitar, the vocal, the slightly Bob Dylan-esque vocals. And then you get all these guys that I've, always had these albums by, but I don't know them very well. The likes of your Steve Forbert and Willie Nile. Mink DeVille, he might even throw Eddie Money in here, right? But definitely Willie Nile and Steve Forbert for sure. I think they all fit in this honorable mention thing too. So the Bruce Springsteen family is vast and wide. And again, the favorite parts from this whole thing that I think are a big deal in it are, I just love the way that you hear that influence. And, in Phil Lynott, it's not particularly a Bruce Springsteen influence. He didn't really talk about him a lot. I suppose there is some influence there. But again, I think Phil almost came fully formed even before Bruce was sort of doing that. Phil Mogg, on the other hand, I think you hear that influence ramp up. And you hear it ramp up towards the end of the Michael Schenker era, and then fully on those really good Paul Chapman era albums. All right, if you like the show and want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/MartinPopoff, hit that red support button, and buy me a coffee or a pint. I think this might be the week, once this goes up, where I got to do my Facebook thing and mention, remind people kind of thing. But anyways, this week I would like to thank Joe Becht, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Chris Monrad. Chris sent me some really cool emails, these pictures that he sent of these big plaques he had in his garage of Gamma and Alan Holdsworth and Ronnie Montrose. Really cool. Just got those this morning, actually. Augustine Garcia de Paredes, Steve Pilleri, and Bernd Wilhelm. Thank you all very much for all your book needs. Of course, you can go to martinpopoff.com. The Bluish Occult Dominance and Submission panel book is still doing well. I've still got the Who book, the Bowie book. I've got some of the AC/DC. You know now that the Kiss is out of print, but I will get more in, November 20th. I guess shouldn't be mentioning dates in these things because these things can be listed to any time. But anyways, at the moment, frustratingly, I'm out of that book. Got the In the Groove book as well, which I'm a 1/5 writer on. That's a big book about record collecting. By the way, went to a record show this morning. So there you go. All of that's at martinpopoff.com. And for your homework today with this episode 226, the Bruce Springsteen family, go play some Graham Parker. Go play that Up Escalator album. Man, what a great album. Or Squeezing Out Sparks. Either of those will do. Talk to you later.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at the RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at R&R Archaeology.